Students from Basalt and Roaring Fork High Schools have been working with professional artist mentors to create two original 30-minute shows of spoken word, songs, poetry, puppetry, dance, and mime. The show plays tonight at 7:30 and twice tomorrow at 3:30 and 7:30 p.m., and all shows are at Thunder River Theater. You can learn more at amplifyingvoices.org. And one of those professional artist mentors is our first guest today. Cher Coleman is a master puppeteer and storyteller with experience locally and nationally performing, telling stories, creating puppets and costumes. Cher, welcome to Express Yourself.
Thank you so much, Luke. This is a pleasure.
It is a pleasure for me too. So let's talk a little bit about the show before we talk more specifically about your role in it. It's involving teenagers from Basalt and Roaring Fork High Schools.
Correct.
Is that correct?
That's correct.
And it's all under the auspices of...
Of Voices.
Okay. Tell me about that organization.
This is a fairly new organization, a couple of years old. We started, I think, our programs 2 years ago. I was involved with Basalt High School last year doing a similar program to what we have created now. And it's quite a magical, if I may use that word, experience with teenagers, where we encourage and follow their lead for their interests, for exploring the topics that are most important to them, and finding a way through the arts to express this range of creative potency, really, is what it is when it comes out of young people mm-hmm. on their way to adulthood. There are so many incredible surprises, challenges, and miracles, really, because at the end of 4 weeks, we have a show.
It's a four-week process.
It's a four-week. Last year, we did it in three. Uh-huh. This year, we have the luxury of 4 weeks.
Okay. And how do the kids get involved? Are there open calls for participating, or are they referred by somebody? How does that part work?
Well, there's probably some self-referral that happens with the students, but there's also a lot of presentation by our executive director, Renee Prince, in the high schools to show them what's possible, to give them a taste of who we're attracting to work with them. And this year we have two beautiful dancers and a poet as well as a beatbox musician who came from Ireland. And then I bring mask and puppetry skills. And then there's another group of people with rich backgrounds at Roaring Fork High School. I can't speak quite as fully about them.
Well, I notice in the press release that I saw anyway that the two parts of the show are called Loving Monsters mm-hmm. and Where We Are Whole Again. That's kind of a pretty wide range of emotions right there.
It's a wide range of emotions.
And you discovered the subjects for the pieces as you went along in the rehearsal.
As we went along, and with our group, we try to encourage that process pretty early so that we can then get down to the nuts and bolts of creating stories and digging and exploring and refining. So, but there's a lot of interesting dialogue, inquiry, exercises that we do with the students. And I think it's, as teaching artists, it's our job also to watch and listen mm-hmm. so that we pick up on what we see them expressing and then turn it back to them and see how that resonates with them.
There's a trick to that.
I think so.
That's not easy. Is it? Or is it?
I don't know. I think as a storyteller, I am a listener. I don't think I can be a storyteller without being a listener. So it's my skill set. And I would say the other creative people, this really is the creative realm of exploration and sometimes false starts and re-envisioning. So I think the artists are all, we're all comfortable in this realm that we work. And we are willing and excited to bring the students with us. And they bring some pretty significant skills themselves.
Because they've been in theater in
their
high school?
Either theater, or they have music interests, or they have movement interests, so they, or poetry interests. Mm-hmm. There's, it's very wonderful here in this valley what these kids can be exposed to along the way in terms of ideas and creativity.
Yeah, I see that all the time on this very show. Many of them have visited and told me and our listeners about their art. And I think this valley does a really good job of bringing the kids up and empowering them and allowing them, giving them the opportunity and the space to perform.
It's really a treasure. Yeah.
How many kids are in each show?
It's approximately 10 in each show. I may be off by one or two in terms of numbers. So we have a troop of around 20.
Did the kids come to the table with already completed portions? Like, for instance, the poets, were the poems already written, or did they get written?
I don't think so, but I'm not absolutely sure of that. I believe these poets work on the ideas along with the development of the theme, along with observation of what the other students are expressing.
So was that the first task, is establish a theme?
That's pretty important to us.
Okay.
And I can really only speak for the group that I've been involved with. And we just find that if we can get that one under our belt, it launches us into the territory that we know we're going to be traveling with a bit of something to hold on to.
Okay. So you're not involved with both groups of kids?
I'm not, no.
Is it the same with the other mentors?
One of the dancers worked with both groups, and I believe that was the only crossover this time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This is the second version of this.
Yes.
So the first version was also at Thunder River last year?
First version was exclusively at Basalt High School. Oh. So this year the second group has been added.
So you're already spreading your tentacles out.
We already are, yes.
And I'll bet you already have established some sort of reputation in the high schools.
I'm more aware of it. And also I should mention that although I lived here very recently for 12 years, this past summer I moved away. So having said that, my immediate connection to the community and how they hear about this is a little bit diluted than if I were still a resident here. Having said that, when I see and talk to people who experienced it last year, they're really, really enthusiastic about seeing it again this year.
Are the same kids in it again that were in it last year? Are there some repeats?
Well, there are a lot of repeats.
Oh.
And actually for us, it's fascinating to see where they're willing to go this year, what's happened in a year's time, just in their own interests and development and maturity, and what they have to bring to the group this year.
Huh.
It's pretty wonderful.
Really interesting. Well, you are, as I alluded earlier, a master puppeteer. Tell me what that means.
Well,
are you going to be self-deprecating?
I'm probably going to be a little self-deprecating, actually. But I would say that I am a person who never stopped playing the games that she played as a child, which meant that I was always manipulating characters and building houses for them and performing with them. And I had the good fortune of creative parents, as well as encouragement to be part of theater groups. So then that translated in just simply wanting to make my own theater. And puppetry is a manageable size. I think I would add that one of the wonderful things that I've come to appreciate about puppetry and children is that although puppets can be huge. For the most part, it gives kids an opportunity to work with something that is a smaller scale than themselves.
Okay.
And that's a very intriguing, it puts them in a place of having a little greater control, especially when you're growing up where most of the people, many of the people who are designing and moving your life around are much bigger than you. So it's an access, it's an almost immediate access into imagination, as well as sort of a directorship with these creatures. And part of my love, in the same way that I would say I have a love for oral storytelling, these are some of our earliest expressions, human expressions.
Oh, really? Now,
well,
tell me more.
I like to think back to cave paintings.
Okay.
Where one could imagine a flickering fire, drawings on the wall that would have moved because of the firelight and the shadow.
Oh.
And the stories that would have been told.
Huh. Yeah.
And we have, you know, we have evidence of all kinds of effigies that go back into cultures. And most cultures have had this as an expression.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying psychologically that urge to tell a story around a fire is the same as creating a puppet and acting through the puppet.
I think there's a lot of similarity there. I think it can become maybe a bigger, richer, more imaginative world once you start to add something figurative to it.
Uh-huh.
But at the same time, and with oral stories, well told use and use of language can take people to some fabulous places in their imagination.
What you said earlier about being the director and the actor both, that's kind of fascinating, and I hadn't really thought about that, but it occurs to me that you're also the writer. So
you're the
director, the actor, and the writer.
Yeah.
When you create a puppet piece.
Right.
Do you make your own puppets, generally speaking?
I do make my own puppets. Huh. I don't always make my own puppet stories. Often I'm captivated by a story that I see it very visually, and so then it's a real pleasure to make that into a theater, a small theater.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been a maker always, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
From maybe 5 on.
Have you ever experimented? You mentioned puppets being smaller than the kids. Have you ever experimented with large scale puppets?
Yes, I have.
Have you?
In fact, I did I made a 4th of July puppet 3 or 4 years, maybe 4 or 5 years ago for the Aspen 4th of July parade, because to me a parade is just magnificent things in it that capture our imagination. And so so I made quite a large, it must have been maybe 10 or 12, probably 12 feet tall perhaps. And my husband, bless him, climbed inside and wore that,
oh,
that
okay.
figure. And I called her Aunt Samantha.
Uh-huh.
So she was... So yes, I think oversized puppetry is just as fascinating.
Huh. Have you created theatrical pieces just for puppets and put them on stage?
One of my favorite stories telling to children, as a oral storyteller and a spellbinder, was The Paper Dragon, by Marguerite Duval. And I've made that, several iterations of that, as a puppet play.
Uh-huh.
Also, Rudolfo Anaya, let's see. Now I'm going to have to scratch my head to remember the name of this wonderful story.
Bless Me Ultima.
Well, Bless Me Ultima is his adult book, but he wrote wonderful wonderful children's stories too.
Oh.
And so this was a puppet play when in fact the Valley was part of the Big Read, and Bless Me Ultima was the story that year. And so I created Roadrunner's Dance. I believe it was called Roadrunner's Dance.
Huh.
A wonderful story with animals and a desert woman.
Do the same theatrical conventions for human drama and comedy apply to puppets, or are there separate conventions that are different from what I would call regular
regular theater? I think I just sort of have to say yes. So there would be different things. For one thing, it's always the puppet is an extension of us, but it isn't us.
Oh.
At the same time, whereas an actor is a physical body portraying that. So in a way, puppetry has more freedom to go to places that are imagined in some iterations. And somebody could easily argue with me on that, but that's what I would say is a considerable difference or possibility. I worked in stop motion animation for 10 years.
Really?
So
Wallace and Gromit, that kind of thing?
That kind of thing. I actually worked my last fabulous job was working on pre-production for Coraline, which is a Neil Gaiman story. And it became a very successful film. So we were really modern day puppeteers. But the puppet, of course, was in service to to film and could then be manipulated in all kinds of new ways, as well as digitally after we had performed and recorded whatever the scenes were.
That sounds like a painstaking process.
It is for the person who has a lot of patience, but also a fascination with detail. So I think it attracts people with those interests.
Huh.
Yeah.
Huh. Another thing you've done, I've noticed from your CV that was kindly supplied to me, that you've designed costumes.
Yes.
And you've made masks.
Yes.
Tell me more about masks. The power of masks strikes me as exceedingly great. There's something about masks.
Okay. It's another way to access something that perhaps is potential. I like to say is a part of us, and perhaps beyond us. I think puppetry does a similar thing, but these are a means to play with, investigate, learn from all of that material that potentially resides in our subconscious or beyond. And just as social animals, we all learn more or less to behave and operate in a corridor. Depending on what our culture is, that corridor is narrow or wide. It has various widths. But I think the human creature also has potential well beyond that corridor. And with any kind of learning, cultural learnings, the things that we practice, we become more adept at. If we have opportunities to explore that world beyond the normal bandwidth, I think it's a place where we can develop a greater consciousness beyond the everyday. And the creative realm, it's a place for that. It's a place to explore that. It's a place where we can even talk to each other about that. I'm currently just finishing a course with a mythologist in Ireland who explores the oldest Celtic myths and the relationship between Celtic myths, these old myths, and the land. And she said in Ireland, as in Australia, there is this belief that the land is dreaming with us. And if we listen to that, we hear it. And what has fascinated me about this course, one part is the mythology, certainly as a storyteller, I'm drawn to that. But the other part is how she has brought it into the present day. So how do we learn from these ancient practices, these ancient stories, to behave in a human way with our land that perhaps we've forgotten? It's fascinating.
Oh, I can see that. I, yeah, you know, Ireland is rich with story.
Ireland is rich with story.
And I can just see the various permutations of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about how your part, without spoiling the show,
okay.
Your part of how did you bring puppetry and mask making into this production that people will see at Thunder River Theater?
I think what I just said to you about the course that I'm taking, this has just been so exciting to me that I wanted to present to the students an idea that maybe we could play around with access to what my teacher calls the mundus imaginalis, that realm beyond. And because my skill set is puppetry, the skill set I'm bringing to this project is puppetry and storytelling and mask making, made objects. It didn't take us long at all to step into exploring a relationship, say, with an animal that we love. And the students that gravitated towards that, I didn't really see any hesitation. They just stepped right into it.
Huh.
And so my job then became, as they worked, they started the process, and then I wanted to simply manifest their ideas into the mask, so that when they put the mask on, there's a sense of embodiment of that character, that creature.
Mm-hmm. I imagine that might be easier to don a mask than to don a character or embody a character as an actor. Maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't know. I don't know that I could. I don't know how to answer that one. I think it would depend on the character, and it would depend on the animal.
And the actor or the person.
Yes.
Yeah. Huh. Wow. Which show are you involved with? The Monsters or the other one?
The other one.
Oh, okay.
Yes,
oh, that's
yes,
interesting, because yes. I think puppets and I look at monsters, and monsters and puppets go together, right?
Well, there is, this won't spoil anything, there is a beautiful puppet piece that was pulled together with Ryan Prince and his students. That I don't have any, I was not part of that. I'm so enamored of it, of their work. So.
Wow. Wow. Huh. So tonight, 7:30, tomorrow,
yes.
As I said, what time? 3:30?
I believe it's 3. Yes, 3 and 7:30.
Oh, okay.
I believe those are the two
tomorrow.
Times tomorrow.
Okay.
Correct.
And are there tickets still available? Can people still
yes.
get?
Okay. And you can either, you certainly can buy them at the door, but it probably would be a great idea to call up and reserve your
do you seats. Have that number? Okay.
I do not have in front of me. I do have
the website, which is amplifyingvoices.org. So I imagine all the information is right there.
Yeah,
on
you
the
caught
website.
Me. You caught me
well,
with the number
no,
question.
We caught each
there
other. How about that? Well, Cher Coleman, I want to thank you for coming in and describing this really interesting project. I think it's going to be something people might really want to see.
I encourage people to just come and you will be taken to a place that surprises you.
Yeah.
With young voices and young experiences that are pretty rich.
Yep. That's really great. Well, thank you.
Thank you, Luke.
Yeah.
This was a pleasure.
Take care. All right, stay with me. There is more to come on Express Yourself.